Welcome aboard, Captain.
Welcome back to the Star Trek Minute, the semi-daily podcast where we analyze and discuss Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, one minute at a time. I'm one of your co-hosts, Chris LaSalle.
I must be your other co-host, David Stoker.
Do I amuse you, David?
1 minute at a time. Just the way you said that was funny.
So here we are. We're talking about minute 81 of The Search for Spock. Minute 81 starts with Kirk saying, "I have the secret of Genesis," and ends a minute later with Kirk saying, "You should take the Vulcan too."
1 minute at a time. You should take the Vulcan too.
So I'm going to make a note, Dave, to look up the Foley artist for the search for Spock, because there is a ton of sound effects on Genesis, and we really haven't talked about it enough. But we had the scary noise from the hole last minute. You know,
yep. This
one we got rocks falling off cliffs and rocks banging against each other. We got I don't even know what kind of explosion noises, things, just a whole
thunder in the background. Yeah,
it's everything you think of. Kitchen sinks falling down. I don't know.
it makes me think of Spaceballs. Batten down the hatches and close the three-ring circus, and it's like they're throwing everything they can. It's okay. This is our moment. We can put in whatever sound effect we want. You want a clown horn? Clown horn's going in.
Aruga. All right. So we got Kirk rehashing his speech from within Regular One. You're gonna have to come back. Have to come down here. But now. Yep. But now he's saying you're going to have to bring us up there to get it. So he's, back and forth. I like his line of, "I'm waiting for you. What is your answer?" How does he even know he's being heard? He could be talking to no one right now.
He could be. The Klingon ship could have left.
Right.
Like after the Enterprise or... So here's a wild idea. Maybe everyone blew up in the Enterprise, you dummy.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know who beamed over and who didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, they could have beamed over, because Kirk even asked Sulu, he says, what's the compliment? And he's like, well, it's 12 or whatever. And he could have beamed over all 12. There's two guys on the planet. That leaves 10. They could have all beamed over at once to, take over the Enterprise, and he could have blown everyone up. I agree with you. How does he know he's even being listened to?
Right. Faith and hope. I do like the, his last thing he says, "What is your answer?" And
yeah. Then
he turns around and his answer, the crew beams down, which is, that's kind of funny. Did you notice, I don't know how they did this, and I don't know, as Kirk's walking back to see Spock, his shirt gets all lit up from presumably the transporter beam.
That's it?
Yeah, and I was trying to figure out how they did it. If it's like, were they someone shining a red flashlight on him as he's walking around, or they do that in post and animated it, or...
Oh, I thought it was just the fire.
No, I thought so too, but I'm convinced now it is the reflection of the
transport.
Yeah. Which is cool. I like that. It's a nice touch. It's kind of like when they finally, in the last couple of Star Wars movies, they finally lit up the actors' faces.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they have a bright light, lightsaber next to their face, and we can actually see it, glowing off their face.
We haven't even talked about, speaking of that, before that is the, so Spock is making more noises.
Yeah.
And I think I said to you offline, I said, I think that sounds like when I'm throwing up. That's like that's the sound I make when I throw up.
I'm sorry to hear that. I thought it was, I thought they stole something from an old Scooby-Doo episode. That sounded like one of those old, like, coin. That's what it made me think of. It's one of those
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. But yeah, he's pretty hard to listen to. The past couple minutes, all these.
Yeah.
But I suppose it's hard. I mean, how many scenes now? You know, have we seen Spock? You know, be stretched and pulled and torn apart by the planet. I mean, he's constantly yelling and moaning and running out of ideas. Maybe that's why they keep switching the actors, because they needed like someone fresh to
do the do the moans. So, you know, Kirk's got a phaser. Crew comes down. He's got the drop on him with the weapon. Mm-hmm. There is six of them and one of him.
Yep.
And they don't do anything.
Nope.
Like, Kirk? I mean, is he just trying to? I feel like they give up too easy.
I always question when, you know, in movies when someone drops their gun versus doesn't, you know, because you never know. Like Kirk be like, I'm not dropping my, I'm going to drop this in your face, you know. But no,
I mean, he can get off one shot before someone. I feel like he get maybe two shots before someone gets to him.
Yeah, well, there's only one guy. It's really one-on-one if it's just Krug and Kirk that have weapons.
Yeah. I mean, even if Kirk fires and they fire, they potentially kill each other and then roll credits.
Again, movie or.
I don't know. I just feel like he sort of gives up too easy. He's like, drop your weapons. And then he just sort of is like, bloop, okay.
Yeah, we didn't even get that. We don't even have that moment of Kirk, making a plan. He just does it.
Right. And it makes me think of Humperdinck from Princess Bride, where he's like, drop your sword. And, okay, maybe. Yep. I'll sit in that chair. Okay. You know, it's like immediately he's like, drop your weapons. He's like, okay.
Yeah, but when you look at Kirk, though, you can read more into this now. Like, look at his face. He's like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to drop my weapons so I can come over there and strangle you with my bare hands. So maybe he's like, bring it.
Yeah, I mean, I think his grandiose plan was what is happening now, which is like, take my crew and me and we'll get off this planet on the Klingon ship. And it's sort of all coming to fruition, except for the fact that he Krug says, over there, all but Kirk, And I don't think that's going down the way Kirk probably anticipated.
Nope.
I think in his mind, he was going to get they were all going to get transported up or something like that.
Absolutely. Well, especially the last line in this, you should take the Vulcan too.
Yeah.
The,
should I take the Vulcan?
Is there something special about that Vulcan?
He looks dead to me. Plus he sounds like he's throwing up.
No, I don't want that on my ship. Krug looks very it's right near the end of the minute, and I know I'm already at the end of the minute, but as he's talking into the communicator, he doesn't look like him.
You think it's a stand-in?
No, I don't think. I mean, it's definitely Christopher Lloyd. It's just he's got a different facial expression than we've seen. He's almost smiling.
Well, it's almost like the madness has taken him over. Like he has, like you said, last minute, or he's got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
He's at the point where, like, he's lost his entire crew. It's just him and Maltz. The madness has now set in of, like, I can finish this. I can finish this, and I can still win.
I can still get Genesis.
I can still get, he's like, over there, all but Kirk. And he's like, he's, like, laughing at that whole, like, his whole statement. Like, he's, like, smiling. He's, like, looks crazy. His eyes are bugging out.
All right. So, okay. So, it's not me.
No, I feel like he's losing it.
The space madness.
Space madness.
The backing up now. Now I'm going to start jumping around the minute, so apologies. When he beamed in, going back to sound effects.
Yeah.
Isn't that that's the decloaking sound effect, which we've been enjoying so much
right,
throughout the movie, and they're using it again here. I'm like, all right, so is all Klingon technology just supposed to be making that sound?
Yeah, that's
or did somebody goof up?
It could have been a goof up.
Yeah.
I didn't quite notice that until you had pointed that out.
I always like too when people beam in Star Trek and they've got their weapons drawn and pointed and you know they're ready to go. Have they ever goofed around in Star Trek? I can't think of anything. You know where they beam in like that, but they're actually facing the wrong way.
So that would be hilarious.
So he's gonna get his back turned to Kirk.
Yeah.
I guess they just saved that for space.
Oh, wait a minute, we're going the wrong way. Yeah, how do they know which way to point themselves or to transport themselves?
I don't know. It's the future.
They use the gizmo with the thingamadingy.
Yeah, that one. It's a pretty impressive shot too with the when Krug beams in and you get this kind of, you know, far away shot and they're, you know,
right.
They're on the edge of the cliff. Everything's burning. You get all sorts of different types of smoke blowing, and it's a pretty cool set.
Yeah, it's not bad. This is one of those moments where you look at it and you're sort of like, yeah, they did a good job here, but on the whole, we know they didn't. And maybe it's the shot itself, you know, with Kirk sort of standing there in the white shirt and, you know, good versus evil, you know, white versus, you know, the white shirt versus the black shirt, you know, that's definitely what you have here. You know, the spy versus spy, you know, from the old Mad magazine.
Oh, I love those guys.
But yeah, it makes me think of like a post-apocalyptic, you know, Earth where everything's, you know, laid wasted and there's random fires all over the place.
Yeah. So you're saying white shirt, huh?
Well, I mean, it's
not pink.
It's pink, but you know what I mean.
I do. I want to make sure it wasn't just me. Like, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure that's pink.
It is, but for all intents and purposes, you know what I mean. Good versus evil, that whole thing.
How good is Kirk's crew? In that when they're told to get up and move, they get up and move like almost in perfect unison.
Well, again, I go back to what I originally said this minute was no one makes a move. No one does anything. And then when Krug says, hey, everybody move, he is the only one. He has a weapon. Kirk has a weapon. Even if it's not a rapid fire weapon, like, pew, 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 pew. You know, I feel like he may be able to take out one or two before they get on him.
Yeah.
And I know no one wants to get phasered, but, you know, or disrupted from the disruptor. But I mean, like, for the, you know.
You think they should have rushed
him? The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one, you know, they would have rushed him.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess they're looking. They don't even look to Kirk for a cue, you know? Right? They just.
They didn't. They just got up and walked away.
Yeah, as one, and they left Spock on the ground.
And that's the other thing. It's like they don't help Spock up, and they just leave him.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. It's fun to watch on a loop because they just keep. They're all up at once.
It is. It's. Yeah, it is hilarious just watching it now. Now that we've. You're saying it out loud like, hey, they get up as one. They do. They all get up as one unit and walk over. And it just looks so ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, man. I do love this movie. So, yeah. I think that's – I didn't have a ton of notes for this one.
No.
It's I really wish that I'm really looking forward to next week, Minute 82. I do like – some of the Krug stuff coming up.
Right, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. I was hoping we were going to get at least one of those lines in this minute, but we got cut off, so we'll have to wait.
Yeah, I like what's coming up, too.
Yeah. All right, well then, should we wrap it up here and enjoy the weekend?
I think we should.
All right. yeah, folks, we're going to wrap it up. And if you want to find us over the weekend, you can find us on the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr. We're Star Trek Minute on all those. And we'll be back again on Monday talking about Minute 82 of The Search for Spock here at the Star Trek Minute. Bye now.
Bye.